Let's get into whether this twin season has become a crisis. We here at Chin Music tend to not be knee-jerk reactionaries to what happens every day or every week, but the twins are having a bad run, man. It has been a rough week. Let's talk about it here on Chin Music with Roy Smalley. Sometimes we have Lavelle Neal with us. Most of the times we have Lavelle Neal with us as a new addition to our network. Today it's just going to be myself and Roy, kind of a nostalgic Chin Music here at TalkNorth.com. Again, you can always find our shows at TalkNorth.com. You can follow us on Twitter, TalkNorthPods, these shows as they are released. And the best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It is free. Thank you to Minnesota Propane, Better Edge, and Aquarius Home Services. And also thank you to our longtime sponsor, Brandon Morton. All right, so Roy, over the week, last weekend, we're talking here on Friday morning. Last weekend, this team caught fire, started scoring about 10 runs a game. Kirilloff started bashing the ball, and it looked like they were becoming the team they're supposed to be with lineup depth, power, good enough starting pitching. Things were sorting themselves out. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they put Kirilloff on the injured list. They put Arise on concussion protocol. They lose three games in which they had pretty good starting pitching performances. The bullpen blows up. They lose another extra inning game, and Byron Buxton pulls up running down first baseline. I just can't imagine a worse three-day stretch for this team.
Well, I can't either. It's incredible. I mean, every team goes through injuries, and we can't feel too sorry for ourselves if you're the Twins. But, I mean, the White Sox have lost Eloy Jimenez and Nel Robert, and that that's not just two of their three outfielders. That's two of the most productive guys in their lineup. So injuries happen. You know, having said that, not being able to keep their starting lineup on the field, I would say, you know, the word literally is overused, but they have not been able to keep their starting lineup on the field since the first series of the year. So there's a lot of that going on. It's hard to get any consistency, any continuity when guys are running in and out of the lineup because of injury or illness or whatever. And I think that has contributed to the offense being really inconsistent. But it is starting to be concerning, the way they're losing games in the bullpen and the way they tend to score runs in a bunch early on, and then that's it. Game after game, it's starting to be a little bit concerning. It doesn't mean that the season's over. It doesn't mean that it's a crisis, but you look at just the way guys are performing, and so many of them so far are not performing up to their normal capabilities. And, you know, there could be any number of reasons for that. But, you know, I worry about the bullpen a bit. I worry about, in particular, I worry about Tyler Duffy. He doesn't look like the same guy. Mm-hmm. And so when you start saying he doesn't look like the same guy and he doesn't look like the same guy and he doesn't look like the same guy, then it starts to be a little bit concerning if you say that about guys over a longer period of time, right? So it's not time yet to say that guy is just not going to be who we thought, because that guy, like all the rest of us, for most of the rest of us, you know, go through up and down streaks. And what's going on right now, except for a couple of guys in the offense, Guys are in down streaks. They're not hitting, the way that we would expect them to hit. Nobody hits their batting average every day of the year. You go through streaks, but just the way it looks. When you're not hitting, it looks bad. And when a guy's, as a team, and when an individual's not hitting, it looks bad. It's like, oh my gosh, he's never going to figure this out. And yeah, he does, and they turn it around and all those kinds of things. But the inconsistency across all the phases of the game is a bit concerning.
Yeah. The thing that jumps out, of course, is they're 0-7 in extra inning games. And I saw a stat from one of the stat services the other day saying Nobody's lost the first seven extra inning games in a season since 1924 when the Phillies did it. This is ridiculous, but it's happening for a reason. As you said, the bullpen has not been good. They aren't sure who to go into in late inning situations and feel good about it. And they aren't scoring runs. I mean, the bullpen blowing up is the easy, obvious problem, but they also aren't scoring runs in the ninth and 10th innings.
Yeah, that's what exactly. That's what I was alluding to a little bit. Yeah. I mean, they seem to score in the first three innings or four innings, and you think, okay, things are back to normal, and then you go through long streaks of over. You know, the pitcher that they almost knocked out that gave up three runs in the first or second has now retired 12 in a row. You know, kind of mm-hmm. thing. And there's been a lot of that. So, I would put an asterisk on the extra inning games. I mean, it may turn out to be significant, like nobody's done this since 1924, but we've never started the 10th inning with a runner on second right. base either. So, I mean, you just don't know about that. I would say that that hurts a club. So on paper better than the other team that they're playing. I think it gives an extra leg up to the other team when your reliever has to start with a runner on second base that he did not put there. But we've talked about that. It's at some point in time there's no more excuses about that. You have to win those games, and they're getting to the point now where they have to start hitting. There's no question about it. And they have to figure the bullpen out a bit. Guys have to start pitching better out there. And, we're at the point where, well, either they will or they won't. A lot of times what concerns me about this is the way they've lost games and where it puts their record and how far back they are. It starts getting statistically tough to catch up.
Right. And this, I would say last time we did a show, I wasn't too concerned because the math wasn't that daunting. After another bad week and everything that's going on, it does start to become a little more difficult, assuming somebody plays well in this division and, finishes with 90, 95 victories. It becomes more and more difficult. It's weird because in my job, so often I'm accused of being a pessimist or a cynic. I still feel like this team, if they got everybody healthy and started scoring runs the way they should and just figured out just some competent, end of game situation in the bullpen, I could see this team having a dominant month or a 10 game winning streak or something that put them right back in the thick things. But those things are not falling into place. So they're healthy enough. Different topic. We saw somebody holding up a Fire Rocco sign behind home plate the other day. I do a lot of outstate radio hits, and I am getting the question, is Rocco's job in trouble? And my short answer is no, of course not. But just to get your view on it all, is there any reason to either question Rocco or worry about Rocco's job at this point?
Remind me, did Rocco's team win the division in 2019?
That's the thing is that's my answer. I'm like, hold it. Won 101 games, basically entered the season having won like 60% of his games in his first 2 years, having the best
and two winning division percentage titles
and two division titles and having the best record of any manager in Twins or Senators history, has done it with players getting hurt, has been victimized this year by COVID and injuries and everything else. So what I tell people is, listen, it's not like I agree with everything Rocco does. I've never agreed with everything any manager I've covered does, because that's just not the way independent thinking works. But to pretend that Rocco is either the cause of all the losing or should be dumped at this juncture, I think is ridiculous. But again, I wanted your perspective as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's won 60% of his games. He's won division titles in his first 2 years, and then miraculously he got stupid overnight over the winter. It's like you want to say, what disease did you get, Rocco? You're really dumb now, and you're the cause of all this. I mean, that's insane to me. And I disagree with some things also, but Has Rocco made some questionable bullpen moves at times? Yeah, maybe. But other than that, he's putting a lineup out there of guys when they're healthy, and they have not been healthy. And that's, I mean, manager's not hurting his players. Yeah, they're getting hurt on their own. And so, I mean, I think the manager, right now, just the knee jerk reaction to it's the manager is crazy, because they don't get stupid over the winter. And he was obviously, you know, very good for 2 years. The biggest thing that I disagree with Rocco about it is, and I think the jury will always be out. I don't think you'll ever know. It's like, do multivitamins work? Well, I don't know. How do you know? You don't feel better by taking a multivitamin. You just kind of assume that getting those vitamins in there is better than not having them. And my analogy here is, we're going to rest guys so that they're strong all season long. And I think that is a good idea to a degree. Mm-hmm. But the monolithic belief in that, regardless of the performances on the field, I just don't agree with. I mean, these are young, healthy, they're young, strong guys, and you know, it's not, you know, not playing every day is not stopping, you know, people from getting, you know, from getting hurt necessarily.
Right.
So, obviously. But a great example was, you know, Mitch Garver, you know, hits a couple home runs in Cleveland. He hits three more home runs or two, whatever many it was, in, you know, first series at home, and then gets sat down. You know, he can't possibly play two night games in a row or something. If I'm a hitter, you could not get me out of the lineup if I had just hit four or five home runs in 4 days. I mean, there's just no way. I'd rather be tired and hot than fresh and, okay, what was I doing the other day when I was feeling really good? I mean, you got to ride it when you're starting to get it, like Mitch is starting to get it. Then I think you have to ride that for a bit. And I would say that, you know, around the field, because I just don't think we know. I don't think we can know whether or not resting guys, you know, makes that much difference. I guess they'd have to show me in this day of data analysis, they'd have to show me, you know, how guys performed in September. They'd have to show me enough evidence to say, you know, this makes sense not to play Garver when he's hot, just because our decision is we're going to rest guys all through. We're just going to live with whatever happens, because it's more important to rest guys. So that's one thing that's an organization. It's not just a Rocco thing. It's an organizational, you know, deal. This is not Rocco's problem, that the way the team is playing right now. It's not his, not a result of anything he's doing. That's just something that jumps out at me as saying, you know, if I think about what would I disagree with Rocco about, that'd be the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, a couple more notes on Rocco coming up. We do want to thank Minnesota Propane Association. I'll be using propane this weekend out on my deck. I hope you get the chance to do as well.
Hi, I'm Laura Shara. And do you really know what it costs to heat water at your home, cabin, or business? No? Well, we do. Based on data from the U.S. Department of Energy, the average annual savings for homes that heat their water with propane rather than electricity is $175. You can save energy and get 2.5 times as much hot water compared to the average electric water heater. Let's save energy and money with a cleaner, greener fuel. Propane. The right energy right now.
And we know that sports gambling is taking off around the country. It's going to be a big deal. And we recommend using the Better Edge app. Better Edge, your sports gambling app.
Hey, everyone. It's Steven Strom, the host of the Strom Sports Show on TalkNorth.com. I'm here to tell you about Better Edge. Combine your love for competition, social, and sports with Better Edge, the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors. Better Edge is a brand new locally based betting platform platform meant to connect users and attempt to add some coin to the bank. Completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with BetterEdge in a number of different sports and event competitions. Use the code STROM, STROM, for a free $10 when you sign up by visiting BetterEdge.com. That's BetterEdge.com.
And as always, we'd like to thank Aquarius Home Services sponsoring this show and a number of shows across the TalkNorth.com platform. A reminder, if you'd like to sponsor this show or any shows on the network, you can reach former Twins executive Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. And thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. So it is fascinating, and that this isn't specifically a criticism of Rocco. I feel the same way you do. I feel like rest guys when they need a mental break, you know, if they're in a slump, then you pull them off the field, you give them a day they can work in the cage, you give them a day where they can kind of refresh their brain. That's the perfect time to rest somebody physically, is when they're kind of grinding mentally and dealing with a slump or a bad week or something like that. I would just always ride a hot hitter.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and hitters want to be ridden, you know, when they're hot, you know. I mean, it's, you know, the greatest example was, and this is unfair because of just the sheer talent level, you know, Kirby Puckett in 1987, mm-hmm. and we go into Milwaukee, he goes 6 for 6, but I mean, he said before and during the game, just jump on my back, guys, just jump on, you know, I'm going to carry you. And of course he did, but very few people can say that and back it up with that kind of performance. They don't have that kind of talent and inner makeup and you know, intuitive hitting intelligence that Puck had. But you still, all of us have had, or it would be in hot streaks, and you don't want a day, you don't even want a day off on the calendar. You know, you don't want a scheduled day off. You'd rather play a doubleheader. That's, you know, Ernie Banks. I know Ernie Banks' famous line came out of someday when the night before he hit 2 or 3 home runs. Yeah, let's play two. You know, and that's what any hitter would say.
Reminder, I'm also doing my own show at TalkNorth.com now, Block to Meet with Jim Suhan. This week's guest, Mike Vec. He tells me how much he hates the Bee Gees, and we get into music and baseball and all kinds of other stuff, as well as my 2-minute drill where I hit on all things in Minnesota sports. Appreciate everybody listening to the network and this show and my show. Thanks very much. Here's the interesting thing about Rocco. I like you, I would like to see him play his best players every day until he's a reason to not play them. And sadly, resting players hasn't really kept the Twins from having a lot of injury, so I'm not sure it's a great rationale for it. I will say this about the bullpen usage. It's the easiest, you know, that is the easiest place to second guess a manager. Why'd you bring in this guy? Oh, that didn't work out. He uses Rodgers in the closer situation, and that doesn't work out either. Rodgers has been his best pitcher. It's like, I don't know who you would, I mean, listen, Rodgers is a good pitcher. And I would think that Colum A will bounce back at some point. And like you, I like Alcala at the end. But, boy, it doesn't matter who he's used in key situations. They haven't come through for him.
That's exactly right. That's the problem. That's how, you can say why, you know, Waddell, you know, here. You can say why this guy or that guy here or there. But it ultimately comes down to, you know, to players' performance. I mean, it always does. And when guys are playing well, that manager looks brilliant. When they're not, he looks like he's making the wrong moves. And you know, if a starter's going to go 5 1/3, you know, and we can argue about whether or not, you know, the biggest decision a manager has to make is when to take the starter out. I think because if a starter goes 5 1/3 because the analytics say he's not good the third time through the order, what you're saying is right now for these next 2 outs in the sixth or all 3 outs in the sixth or whatever, this guy out in the bullpen is better than my starter. So I'm going to go to them. But then as soon as you do that, then you're going to have 4 guys, automatically you're going to have 4 more guys pitch. And each one of them has to be good that day. You know, none of those guys can have an off day. I just didn't pitch well today. And the odds of that, of 4 guys being at their peak, and that the matchups with the other hitters are going to work, perfectly. The odds against that are really pretty great. So, you know, I know everybody thinks starters need to go deeper in the games. Well, I would agree with that. It makes it a lot easier for your bullpen. But, you know, if you've got a starting staff that's going to basically go 5 1/3 or 5 2/3 most of the time, if your decision is at this juncture of the game, after pitching one out into the sixth, my four guys in that I'm going to have to use coming in from the bullpen will be better than leaving my starter out there for another 2/3 or inning and a third, then, you know, that's, you're going to have issues during the course of the year trying to use your bullpen correctly.
Yeah. That's the thing where I'm of course not anti-analytics. Nobody, you know, analytics have always been a part of the game, but there are a couple of analytics ideas that do bug me, and you just hit on a big one of them, which is for you to go to the bullpen and use 3 to 5, 6 people every night. Somebody's gonna have a bad day, right? And one reliever having a bad day is gonna lose you the game. The other analytics thing, you know, the downplaying of the importance of the classic closer, because, you know, why would you use your best pitcher in the ninth inning in a 3-run game with the bases empty when that's a fairly easy situation? Why wouldn't you use more of a matchup? But we see what happens to a bullpen and to a team if you don't have somebody who just takes care of that job and takes that job off the board so you don't have to worry about it.
No question that's true. And there's absolutely no question that's true. That it's why you and I a few years ago were so adamant about now I'm going to blank on his name, but the dominant closer for the Red Sox and went to the Cubs, and he Kimbrel? Was a free agent. Yeah, Craig Kimbrel.
Yep.
So you and I wanted Kimbrel on this team. Now, we might have been wrong about the guy. I mean, as it turns out, you know, we're wrong about the guy. But we're not wrong about the concept of it being very, very difficult to win consistently in today's game without a lockdown closer, without a guy that, you know, when he comes in the game with the lead, the game's over. And you look at all the teams that have won, you know, and there's some huge percentage of the time there was a guy that at the back end that closed out 90% of the games, and it happened with us in '87. And it, you know, when we got Jeff Reardon, it changed everything. It changed absolutely everything because it allowed Tom Kelly with a pitching staff that was again not exactly the starting pitchers from the Hall of Fame after Biola and Blylevin. And a really patchwork bullpen, but if we could figure out how to get to Reardon in the ninth, the game was over. And you know, having that since the Bruce Sutter, Lee Smith, Goose Gossage days, that has just been the imperative. And I think it's just too hard to try and go by committee and try to get matchups and all those things. It's not too hard. It can be done. It's just not the same as having a guy out there that's, you know, he comes into the bullpen and here comes his music playing, and that means the game's over.
Yep. And I know from talking to players throughout the decades that there are losses that hurt more than others. And if your starting pitcher just doesn't have it that day, you know, we can shrug and say, okay, our guy didn't have a good day. We'll get him tomorrow. And he'll be better next time. When your closers or your late inning relievers are giving up leads, that is much more devastating to the psyche of a team.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And especially right now, I mean, nobody can complain about anything. The hitters can't say anything because they're not scoring enough runs for this team. This is a team that's built on offense, and it should have enough pitching to be able to win with this offense. But the offense isn't holding up their end of it right now either. So, you know, nobody can really complain about the other guys too much. But it is, they are tough losses when you lose late, when, you know, consistently. And when you've scored, especially when you scored a lot of runs, or you tend to score a lot of runs, and then you get, you ultimately don't win the game. And if you think about it statistically, a starting pitcher, if he's real good, is going to win, six out of 10 games, or a little bit better. So there's a significant percentage of games the starter's not going to win. And you say, yeah, okay. I mean, he's going to win, this guy's going to go, 15 and 10. Well, that's, 60%, wins. You're happy with that. But there's at least 10 times when he didn't have it. For a lockdown closer, he's going to close 9 out of 10, and the 1 out of 10 happens infrequently, and so you're just counting on that, and you're counting on that 85-90% percentage. And when you're not closing out games at that kind of percentage, it leads to way more losses and way more tough losses than a pitcher who loses the 10 or 11 game, the good pitcher who loses 10 or 11 games.
Yep. Well, let's hope we have more fun stuff to talk about next week. I really hope Buxton gets healthy. He's been incredible this year. It was a kick to the gut, even just as somebody who isn't affiliated with the team and just wants to see great baseball and a great baseball player. That was so disheartening to see him pull up yesterday. We don't really have, as we talk here on Friday morning, we don't really have a status update on him. But let's hope we have more interesting things to talk about next week. And good stuff from Roy. I appreciate the perspective. We'll have Lavelle back on soon. Thank you for listening to Chin Music and TalkNorth.com.
Hey, this is Mike Russo from the Worst Seats in the House podcast. Are you looking for great tasting clean water in your home or cabin? How about an AC or furnace tune-up? If so, go to my one-stop shop for water treatments, plumbing, and heating and cooling, Aquarius Home Services. Aquarius can be your experts for just about anything. If your water is too hard or has bad odor or tastes funky, they're the local authorized dealer for the revolutionary non-electric Kinetico water system. And if you need to get your furnace or AC running properly or a whole new heating or cooling system, they do that too. For more information, go to AquariusHomeServices.com or call 651-356-8542. That's AquariusHomeServices.com or 651-356-8542.